It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 246 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a special conversation with Israel Idonije, best known for playing for the Chicago Bears for many seasons, but who has now taken on the world of comics and has produced, along with Ron Mars and Bart Sears, The Protectors, a wonderful book that has been collected into a trade paperback of the first six-issue arc. We discuss how he got this book to be, what the process was like for him on his very first comic, and what we can expect in the future. He's got a lot of good things to say, so I'm sure you're going to want to listen. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. Welcome to the podcast, Israel Idonije, a former Chicago Bear player who is also a comic book creator. How are you doing, Israel?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk with you. I first met you at C2E2 this year, and yeah. I kept coming back and forth to your booth because the trade hadn't arrived for the Protectors yet, and I was so happy one of the times it came, there it was, and so I bought it and I've read it, and I love the book tremendously, so I just want to tell you it's a terrific book.
Oh, thank you. That warms my heart, and I'm looking forward to getting some of your thoughts on it.
Okay, well, we'll talk some about that as we go. I've got a couple of things I'm just dying to ask you about, and not just football, but some other good things, too. But everybody seems to talk with you about football and comics, it seems like.
Yeah, those are two things I've been involved in for a long time, so rightfully so.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and talk about, we'll dive right into the Protectors, because we want to get people to buy the book as quick as we can. So tell people what the Protectors is about.
So in 2007, during training camp, I wanted to tell an origin story of the athlete, that their ability in sport, their strength, their speed, their power, the intellect, everything that makes them great, great in sport, where does that gift come from? What is the source of that ability? And I wanted to tell the origin of that. So I created the Protectors. It took me about 3 weeks while I was in training camp with the Bears. And in the story, it's ultimately these humans have been gifted this ability to save the human race from this dark force that's looking to subjugate them through politics, media, and religion. And in the story, these gifted humans over time forget that they have this ability. A byproduct of this gift that they have is their ability to have speed, power, strength. And they end up by default now just being on Earth today, just these great athletes. Gaelic, who's one of the ageless ones, comes to Earth. He unlocks Isaac Chike, who's a football player, and says, you know what, you've been created to be more than just an athlete. And he unlocks him and begins to show him his true purpose. And the world in this time is in absolute disarray through this dark force that's looking to control humanity. And the Protectors need to come together to save us, to save the human race.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great story. And my understanding is it was six issues, and now it's collected in a trade paperback.
Correct. Yeah, so we started. I mean, I've never made a comic before. So we started, we did the prequel, issue zero. We did one. We printed that as well. And through that learning process, rather than release two, we finished out the first arc, mm-hmm. and we just collected it in a trade. And that's what we'll do. We're working on the next arc now, and we'll also do a trade as well.
That's really cool, because this is just a brilliant concept, and I don't know why other people don't do this more often than is the fact that you have put athletes who are naturally gifted as far as like physical things go, they are becoming superheroes, and I just think that's just a wonderful thing, because I wish I had thought of that, because it just makes perfect sense. You know, you've got somebody who is physically able to do these things, and you know, who understands the game of life and stuff in many ways, and so here you are bringing this into the superhero in the comics realm. So I have to tell you, I really love that about the book. I thought it was really creative the way that you did that.
Thank you. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I always felt that sports and comics, you know, there was always a natural synergy between the two platforms. Mm-hmm. And then when we started going through the whole exercise, it was great. When I connected with Ron Mars, who was our lead writer, Ron, when we laid everything out, he's like, yeah, this is actually a perfect way to connect the two platforms. So I was excited about bringing that whole platform and telling that story in that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great story. I really love that. Because my understanding, did you come up with the concept, the story? How did you and Ron kind of work that out? Did you come up with the basic world building and then he kind of took the first story and ran with it? Or did you kind of have basically what you wanted the first story to be like?
Yeah, so 2007, I came up with the concept, the universe, and the outline behind everything. So it was more so I created the protectors, the dissenters, the general universe. I pulled those components together. And then having never really written a comic before, I needed to bring someone in with that expertise to really sharpen the ideas and everything behind it and really give it legs. So it was 2010 at the San Diego Comic-Con. You know, Ron and I had breakfast for almost 2 hours and kind of flushed out the whole universe. And he said, yeah, this is great. This doesn't work. I like this element. You know, what if we turn around and add this additional piece? And what I had at that point in 2010 was like a full Bible. Mm-hmm. We had everything pretty much laid out in the universe. We had 13 characters. Mm-hmm. Ron came in and said, of those 13, let's cut it down to these six and tell their stories first and then kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. And I actually had help from another great writer by the name of Will Watkins. Mm-hmm. Because I created the Protectors 2007, mm-hmm. and I didn't connect with Ron till 2010. Mm-hmm. So Will kind of helped me mold and flesh out the product that I presented to Ron in San Diego in 2010. So it's been a labor of love. It's really been fun. The goal at the onset was just to tell the story of the athlete and give a story behind the source mm-hmm. of their ability in sport. And that, for me, was the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And just to have been able to accomplish that, it was an incredible moment getting that first book, holding it when the characters came to life. Mm-hmm. All those moments along the journey have been very special.
Mm-hmm. I can just imagine because they're living your head for most of the time and suddenly they're down on paper. It's a very, you know, cathartic experience, it seems like, you know. And so for you, that must have been something really special to see it happen.
Oh, man, it was incredible. And actually, Mark Bright did the first rendition of Isaac Chike and really the whole Protectors team. Mm-hmm. And then Bart Sears came behind that, and Bart just updated the costumes and the characters, mm-hmm. which was great because people see the current trade and are like, oh, my goodness, the artwork. They absolutely love it. And it's just done in a way that captures both sport mm-hmm. and the heroic cosmic aspect that we were looking to achieve. It really captures it in a great way.
It's really something. It's such a well-done book, I have to say. And of course, you don't do anything half-baked. Apparently, Ron Mars and Bart Sears and Mark Bright also are great names in the comics industry. So, man, you started off at the top, sounds like.
Well, I mean, it was more so like, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I'm the rookie in this arena. Mm-hmm. So let's bring in people. Let's bring in who know the space, who know this, the comic game, per se, who know what they're doing there, and let's add them to the team so we can ultimately put a winning product mm-hmm. on the field for fans to read. And that was really the approach. You know, here's the idea. One, other than my mother, you know, does somebody else think, hey, this is actually a good idea? You know, so getting that done first mm-hmm. and sitting down with Will, sitting down with Ron and other people in the industry. I met with other people from other large publishing groups and just getting everybody's sense of like, you know, there is a bridge between sports and comics. And I think there's a story that needs to be told there in a different way, other than pro stars or NFL super pro. And this is what I think it could be like. And what are your thoughts? And what do you think about helping to tell the story? And that's what we did.
Because I always get a kick out of how comic fans and sports fans are kind of similar. You know, we all believe in something yeah. beyond ourselves. And then, of course, when you go to a sports game, a lot of people go what we would consider in costume. And just like when you go to a comic convention like C2E2, you get there and there's yeah. all these people in costumes. And there's so many similarities between. I always get a huge kick out of that. And you bring those two worlds together, I thought was really well done. And I you know, there's... For the longest time, I always thought they were very separate universes. You know, if you like sports, you weren't going to like comics. But
right.
you prove that that's not the case, that you can like both and be good at it.
And Wayne, you're absolutely right. And the two fans are the same fan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I sit in an autograph signing and sign autographs. I remember I did an autograph signing. I had it with Richard Dent and Otis Wilson. Mm-hmm. And the memorabilia and the relics that people were bringing up were absolutely incredible. Like mm-hmm. old stuff from the 85 Bears Super Bowl run, their rookie cards, just incredible things that true fans, only true fans would have. Mm-hmm. Now, when I sit at a comic convention, it's the same thing. People bring up for Ron Mars and Bart Sears relics and these books and like things that they don't even like. This was like one of the first books I was a part of. I mean, it's the same love and support from both platforms. And I always felt that there was really an opportunity to bring those two together, because there are a lot of comic fans out there that love sports mm-hmm. and there are a lot of athletes and sports fans that love comics. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the proposition to do something specifically in the space that's not gimmicky. It's not like, hey, we have LeBron James and let's just give him powers to do something. No, mm-hmm. let's tell a real story about like, what is the true source mm-hmm. of these athletes' gifts? What's the true source of their ability? Why was that source brought here to Earth? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the real undertone of what's going on? What's the connection between this whole story? And that's what we wanted to bring to life within the Protectors.
Now, I've got to ask you, of course, you've got the focus of the three bad guys have to do with three aspects of our current life. And that's, I think, remember correctly, it's politics and it's religion and it's media.
Correct.
And I got a kick out of that, because is that your kind of commentary on what's going on in our society today? Or is this kind of something that this kind of came to you? How did these aspects come to you? How they develop?
Yeah, that was exactly it. I was thinking of sports it's one of the biggest platforms of entertainment in the world. Mm-hmm. And in my story, I knew that the heroes were going to be these athletes. Mm-hmm. And just on the other end of that, when I thought of what is this dark force looking to subjugate the human race, what will be their drive? What will be their motivation? What will be their instrument of control? Mm-hmm. And then it was just clear. Like at the end of the day, it was through politics, through media and religion is mm-hmm. how the human race is controlled today. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, whoever wields those three instruments has the ability to basically drive and control for good or for evil. Mm-hmm. And in the story, these dark forces are unfortunately controlled by the dissenters, which is unknown to the human race, mm-hmm. a very dark, evil force that they mm-hmm. think is the senator, who they think is a great guy, but mm-hmm. he's actually, every move he's making strategically is long-term to his advantage, to control humanity and to control these beings as humans that he thinks and he believes to be inferior mm-hmm. to them as celestial beings, as ageless ones. Mm-hmm. Also with Talia and Ragnar, you know, they are all working together to control humanity. And Gaelic now has to pull together these athletes and ultimately help them understand that their purpose, their gift was given for a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. Some will decide, yes, we will protect. Some will decide, no, we just want to continue to entertain the masses. Mm-hmm. And some may join the darker side.
Because mm-hmm. that's one of the great things about the book is that not only is it a great superhero book, it's very profound in the subject matter that you're dealing with. That yes, that just because I understand you're a spiritual person, you know, and yet sometimes organized religion can be a real, they used to call it the opiate of the masses. And so here you are, you know, you're bringing these very thoughtful ideas to the whole superhero genre, which I really enjoyed. I thought that was one of my favorite parts of the whole book.
I'm glad you enjoyed it and picked up on it. I think that to me was at the core of the story, the message ultimately is, yeah, those three platforms mm-hmm. do have in our real world the ability to change for good or for bad. But mm-hmm. the greater story is that us mm-hmm. as all of us, every person, we are the heroes in the story of our lives. Mm-hmm. We're the heroes in the story of each other's lives. And the tagline in the story is join the fight. So regardless of what your gift is, whether it be in media or in sports or in any other vertical, regardless of what your gift is, you can make a conscious decision to join the fight mm-hmm. and do what is right, to use your gift for good, use your gift to make our world better. And that's really the message that I hope is told and learned through the story, that these athletes, yeah, they have a great life, but they have a gift that they make a decision consciously to serve, to save, and to do what's right, despite all the darkness that's around, despite the evil that's around, despite the monetary, the simple lures of fame and fortune, mm-hmm. that their purpose is, their need to fulfill their purpose outweighs their need just to gain riches and wealth. So that's our story, and we're excited about continuing to tell it and unfold the characters and continue to share them with the world.
So that's amazing, because most comics is just punching and kicking. And so,
we'll do a little punching and kicking too.
Well, it's really great, because, you know, I'm sitting there going, like, my gosh, it's like Star Trek in some levels, you know, because, you know, Star Trek always had like philosophical underpinnings that were going on with it, and you know, you could catch those as well as the action and adventure and stuff. So you did that as well. And I thought that was a wonderful thing, because honestly, you'd never know this is your first book, because man, all these good things, and you got, you know, and Ron, I got to congratulate, and Bart and all this stuff. But I have a feeling you contributed a lot to this as well. So I think that you guys have done a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was exciting. You know, this is my baby. This is not something that I'm just, this is something I was doing because I loved the entire process of coming up with an idea and seeing it grow into something that it is today. And what was amazing was working with Ron and Bart. They understood that this was more than just a story that I wanted to tell for some fly-by-night reason. This was something that I genuinely wanted, that was important to me, and that I wanted to do. I wanted to do it in the right way. Mm-hmm. So just the attention to detail and the love that they put into it is evident. And I'm glad, you know, you mentioned like, yeah, this is such a great book. It doesn't seem like it's your first book. Well, that's a testament to my teammates on the project and that they've been along on the journey. So I'm excited. I can't wait for everybody to catch volume two, and we'll just keep rolling.
So how is volume two coming along then? How far? You said that Ron has outlined the whole second volume. Are you going to go to trades rather than individual issues from this point on?
Exactly. We're on Madefire, so we'll release episodes digitally online. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the digital rollout, we'll just come out with a full trade. So our single issues, unless we want to do something just specifically for that, mm-hmm. we'll just focus on trades. And that's just what we've learned on the educational side, is just mm-hmm. as far as what we're doing, it's better just to go to trade. But, you know, we'll write up issues 6 through 10 as singles, mm-hmm. but we'll collect them and we'll just print the trades.
Okay. Now, I noticed on your website that you turned this into a motion comic. How about that?
It's exciting.
What was that like to see? Not only did you see it on paper, now you see it almost like a movie. And I heard in one of the interviews that you had done that you might be optioned and stuff like that. So all this stuff, it must be to see your work take off like this, and, you know, see the motion comic, and then hopefully a movie come out of this. This is the perfect time for superhero movies with special effects.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And the motion comic was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Working with the guys at Madefire, they were just, excellent at what they do. So they took the comic and they literally just turned it into 15 episodes that lives on Madefire. Well, we're now working to collect those into one piece. So it's one full, almost like a motion animated piece. Mm. And then we've had some talks about putting some audio around it. So you can actually, it's like an animated motion comic, which is just interesting. To take, and it's just another way for people to connect with the story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have had some interest in the movie rights. Unfortunately mm-hmm. for them, fortunately for us, we've opted to focus on building the property. You know, okay. And as I mentioned to you, that, you know, we're seriously trying to build this property in this universe. So it's premature for us to even engage in anything as far as movie rights. It's, mm-hmm. Our focus is to tell the next 3, 4, 5 volumes mm-hmm. and tell great stories that connect, that people love mm-hmm. first. That's mm-hmm. it. And when that's done, then we'll look up and kind of see where everything else is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's flattering just to even get the calls. Hey, you know, who owns the Protectors? Well, mm-hmm. you know, tell us a bit about, you know, it's very flattering. Mm-hmm. But right now at this time, we're just focused on telling our story mm-hmm. and making books.
Because that's honestly what it's all about, is telling stories, you know. It's great to do things, you know, and to develop characters other people want to play with. But you have a story in mind. You have a message in mind. And so you want to get that out as number one. So that, you know, I wish more comics were like that, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, what I've learned through this process, I mean, the comic, I'm fortunate I just don't sell comics. I'm fortunate to have a manufacturing business that's actually my core business.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to do this in a way that is really just about the love first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough industry, you mm-hmm. know, and that people don't realize it's a very tough industry. And, you know, it's more so I can make a comic that I love and I'm not worried about how many I'm selling. But if you're making it for a living, you know, you've got to be focused on moving units and mm-hmm. selling comics and, mm-hmm. and telling stories that people want to read and buy first. And, mm-hmm. and just even as you learn that business, as far as how the monthlies drop off and how every month there's more comics coming out. So mm-hmm. how do you fight for space within the shops? And I mean, it's a serious business.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things, I've been fortunate to just kind of get a little bit of education mm-hmm. in that space. So, and just even more so, kudos to the creators out there for what they do. It is not an easy thing. And it's just, it's very impressive. So I'm fortunate to just even play a little part and even to have experienced a little part in our journey thus far mm-hmm. With our comic.
Which is great. And I wish it could be in every store. Have you tried going to Diamond, or people need to go through your website and go to Amazon to get the book? Is that how this
works? Yeah, everything is on the website and on Amazon. I think eventually we will end up in a Diamond. I mean, they're kind of the gatekeepers mm-hmm. of the comic world.
Right.
So I think eventually we will end up there. Thus far, we're fortunate to have a nice little following on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And as things come to life, mm-hmm. we let our fans know. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of operating in that space thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, yeah, we would love to have a greater presence across the Diamond distribution channel. And, mm-hmm. and we actually are having some interesting conversations mm-hmm. about how we can achieve that mm-hmm. through strategic partnerships. So mm-hmm. we're working on that. I think, one, we believe that we have a fantastic story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two, we need to have it set up so we can get it in as many hands as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the right distribution partner allows us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, why don't you tell people the name of your website to go and get the...
Oh, the web... Yeah, the website is athletacomics.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can go on the website and the book is fully there for fans. We also, if you go to Amazon and you just look up The Protectors, mm-hmm. Volume 1 with Ron Mars, Israel Adonijé, it's there. If you do pick it up on Amazon and leave us a review, I think we have like 3 or 4 great reviews.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And just, I love the feedback to hear about what people thought about the story. I mean, it's like a baker who makes mm-hmm. a cake and you know, gives you a slice and mm-hmm. steps back. And from the back of the kitchen, he's looking into the cake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of me. I love to hear feedback on, you know, hey, tell us about the story. What'd you think? And, so we'd love to hear feedback from our readers.
Very good. Well, I've got one more topic I want to talk with you briefly about. It's because I have this thing about diversity in comics. I love your book. I think one of the great things about it is a very diverse group of people in it. You know, you've got all different kinds of people, kinds of sports, male, female, you name it, it's all in there. And it's very diverse, and I really like that. And honestly, I would like to see more of that. I have a real problem, like, with people who want to take people of color and put them into existing costumes. You know, like, for example, the Atom in D.C. has been a Hispanic female, has been a Oriental guy.
So you have an issue with the Iron? I think Iron Man's doing that.
I like Ultimate Spider-Man.
You don't love that?
I don't love that. I don't, because I think, and this is what I wanted to ask you about, and maybe I'm way off base, but I want to talk with you a little bit about it and get your opinion. Not that you're not the expert on all this good stuff, but I just wanted to get your opinion, is that there are books out now called, like, there's one called Legend of the Montemagi that I really love. It's like your book in the way that it's cast very diverse. And your book, what I really like about it is it's creative and it takes us someplace that we haven't gone before. You know, you've got your group, you've got everything is all set up very uniquely as far as the comics industry goes. And so I applaud that, to be honest with you. I love to read that kind of stuff. And that's why I was real anxious to talk with you, because I like that. And I got to be honest with you, I don't go for Ultimate Spider-Man and things like that, because I always feel like you're kind of cheating the people, because there's so much more that you can do with those characters than just put them in an existing costume. But I was interested to get your opinion on that. What do you think about that?
Well, my opinion on that is actually split, because one, I understand from the business side,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the major publishing houses in the comic space, mm-hmm. their business is predicated off just telling the same stories over and over and over in different ways, in unique ways. You know, and they've done that for years. They'll continue to do that because fans love those stories. Those stories are connected, and there's new fans that will continue to love those stories. So that falls within their business model, and that's basically how they generate revenue to run a real business. So rather than creating a completely new character that's living in a diverse space and spending those resources to test that water, that may fail, and then that's just something burns. The safer bet is to hedge that bet and put that diverse slant in a property that you know will at some level give you a return on that investment. So I see that for them is like a safe play. Yeah, we want to go there, but we want to limit our liability. So let's see how we can include the story in a way. I don't know that for sure. I'm looking at it with from like from the business hat. Why would they do that? And I think that possibly because they know those characters that already connect. People will buy. People will look at the story. It will have some sort of return. But in the same sense, I mean, there's so many talented creators out there. And you can't tell me that they can't put a team together and create a fantastic story that's connective, that is far-reaching, that is diverse, and that we all love. You know, so I think that the major publishers, they need to take that risk on some level and create a new character. And you don't do it overnight. You put a couple teams together and let them tell stories. Let them tell real stories that they care about. And often I find, you know, if I tell you something that I genuinely care about, you feel that. And when you feel how deeply I care about the story I'm telling you, you connect with it more. So I think that should be the approach to building out a new pipeline of diverse stories. And I think it's time. I think the world needs that. I think younger readers, they want to see that. And the traditional comics that we all love will always forever be there. I don't think those will ever go. But I think it's a big world and there's plenty of room for new stories that we all can equally love. And for those to stand on their own and not be connected in any way to any previous universe.
Yep, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I don't think we can keep our one foot in the past and one in the future. I think at some point we're going to have to start moving forward. Have you ever heard, there's a book called Black. Have you ever heard of that book?
No, I have not.
There's a comic, and the basic premise is that people of color on the earth are the only ones that get superpowers. And it's this whole social thing going on about it, and I just can't wait to get my hands on it and see what kind of story they tell with that. It's just it's a fascinating book to me. That whole concept to me, again, it's someplace I haven't gone before. And for me, who's been reading for years and years, I love stuff like that. And it's like with your book, I love that, just that kind of thing. I got to read things that I hadn't seen before, and I got to go places, and my mind likes to go places like that. So all stuff fascinates me, and that's one of the things I loved about your book in particular was that kind of stuff. I want that to be available more to people, not less. I'd like to see your book in all the stores that we can possibly get them into, because I think that we're ready to read these kinds of stories and to move forward as a society and to come to get to know each other better. And I just think it's wonderful stuff. So to me, I just think that your book is pushing the industry forward, and I'd like to see more of that.
Well, and beautiful. I stand with you on that. I think, I assure you, we'll do everything on our end to broaden our distribution and tell our story. And then I think beyond that, as a company for Athleta Comics, our focus is also as well for me to get on with you here and talk about the larger publications doing what they can to tell stories and to tell new stories. I think we're also responsible, even though we're just a small publisher. You know, we're also focused on, as soon as we have we have two properties in house that we're working on. As soon as that is up and in the pipeline and kind of on autopilot, we have a real focus on also doing what we can to bring new stories that are from other creators that are out in the universe, and we want to tell those stories that we connect with. So eventually, you know, hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to start helping support that need that's out there for just new stories of diversity and beyond.
Well, you're off to a great start, I think. And I this book, it's called The Protectors. And again, it's athleticcomics.com to get it. And of course, you can look on Amazon as well. And I just have to say that, man, you're off to a terrific start. I just want to see more. I can't wait for the second volume to come around. And it'll be worth the wait, I'm sure. So, man, keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.